have.
Hello.
I won't do that the whole episode.
Please don't do that.
That'll hurt my throat.
Well, there are so many other reasons also not to do that, but that's okay.
Okay, we have some housekeeping for once. Not for once. We always have housekeeping.
I'm like looking around. I'm like,
Shout out to Vienna. Our hair is really cute. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. We love it.
I love it.
It's so short, but like not like it's not short by anyone else's standards, but mine. And the fact that it's still down to my belly button, but it was in my butt crack. So here we are.
Here we are.
And Podchasers, they gave us a shout out.
Yes. Podchaser. Podchaser is a platform.
Platform is probably a good way to.
Yeah. A platform that shouts out podcasts that they think are worth listening to. And so that way you can get exposed to podcasts that you might never find because they're not in the top 100 or whatever that are popping up right in your face when you go to your podcasts.
Yeah.
And they gave us a shout out. So that's exciting. Their Instagram handle is @podcastdelivery. So if you want to give them a follow, they will give you recommendations for podcasts.
Just don't switch up on us.
Yeah, don't switch up on us. But add some of the ones that they recommend. Yeah, all four of you. Don't forget about Heather, the toothpick. But anyway, give them a follow @podcastdelivery on their Instagram, and they'll give you recommendations for some podcasts that you may want to be listening to that you might never have known about.
Unless you would have known.
Unless you would have known. That's not what I was going to say. You might never have known about them.
They expose you to new podcasts that you probably haven't heard of that are great and awesome.
Yes, there you go. Stuff that you would never think about finding. And then there it is right in your face.
Whoop. There it is.
So thank you, Podchaser.
There it is.
Thank you,
Podchaser.
@podcastdelivery on Instagram.
Yes.
Very exciting for us. So and thank you, guys.
Sign up for their newsletter.
Yes.
They have a newsletter that comes out every Monday.
Yeah, telling you what to listen to. So, all right, cool. Thank you guys so much for doing that for us. We really appreciate it.
Whee!
All the support is amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
We love it.
Okay. Okay, Daph, disturb me with your fact.
Disturb you with my... Disturbed? I'm going to disturb to you?
No, I just said disturb.
That's why I said I'm going to disturb to you.
Yes, disturb to me.
I'm going to disturb to you about Arizona's weird laws.
Okay.
Okay, so this sheet I found has...
This sheet or sheet?
This sheet. This sheet, S-H-E-E-T.
Okay.
I found doesn't have any elaborations on why laws are laws, but just has the laws.
You know why laws are laws? Because people did dumb shit, and so they had to make a law so that you don't
okay,
do dumb
shit. Okay, but these are just odd, as per usual.
Different than last
but
time?
But I don't have the elaboration for why, for instance, a donkey cannot sleep in a bathtub.
Probably because it's a bad idea for a donkey to sleep in a bathtub.
It might be cozier than outside in the ground.
Yeah, but what if he slips on the porcelain and then hurts his back?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's your reason right there.
In Glendale, cars may not be driven in reverse. I would say there's a pretty good reason for that. I'm on board with that one. Hunting camels is prohibited. That's all the wild camels in Arizona.
Right? Like, huh.
Huh, is correct.
Not too sure about that, but okay.
It is illegal for men and women over the age of 18 to have less than one missing tooth visible when smiling.
I
think it's for viewer pleasure.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like that might be prejudicial should you not be able to afford a good dentist or good dental plan. However,
I get it.
Yeah, you do with your perfect smile.
Yeah, well, guess what? I had missing teeth, so I have a perfect smile now. Yeah. So I was born without them.
You'd have been illegal in Arizona.
Yeah.
But only after you turned 18.
Yeah, only after I turned 18, which luckily I had my teeth. No, I didn't have them in my mouth before I was 18, but I had the surgery before I was 18.
Yeah.
It just takes a while. It's a long process once they do the surgery to getting your actual, your crowns put on, the little pegs that hang out that are attached to your bones and your jaw. Yeah. Takes a while. It's a long process. Got to heal. Sometimes get bone grafts. That's what happened to me. But nobody wants to hear about my teeth.
Nope, they don't.
It is illegal to refuse a person a glass of water. again, I find that that's reasonable. High Plains Desert.
I also find that reasonable.
In Mojave County, a decree declares that anyone caught stealing soap must wash with it until it is all used up.
Oh, I agree with that.
Could you imagine how dry your hands would be?
Well, I don't think you have to do it all at once.
Maybe you do.
Maybe you do.
We busted you stealing that bottle of Dial right there, dude. Now you're not allowed to wash your whole hand.
It's like if you get caught smoking cigarettes when you're a kid and they make you smoke a whole pack of cigarettes so you never want to smoke again. Like that.
Never had that happen.
No, you didn't.
Can't relate.
No, but I can get behind that too, because if you steal my fucking body wash, you better use it, motherfucker.
Yeah. Okay, so I found a website that has a little bit more explanation for things and some more laws that I liked.
Okay.
So you are not allowed, it's illegal to remove or cut down a saguaro
cactus.
Yes, I thought I was saying that right, and then I was questioning myself.
It's okay, it's probably all pronunciation.
They're highly protected. So you could go to prison for up to 25 years for cutting one down without a permit.
Don't cut that shit down.
Yeah, don't disrupt habitats. Yeah. How about that?
Don't destroy vegetation.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to go out of order, so I need to go back to rule number two that's on this list, because it's like the most like, no fucking shit, what the fuck one? Okay. Arizona allows, if a landowner or officials approve, that you are allowed to challenge anyone to a street race.
What?
Street racing is allowed if it's on someone's property.
Oh,
like
private
if it's
property.
On like a land. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, people have like really big lands, right? So.
Sorry, I was confused by the verbiage, I suppose.
You're not allowed to touch flags.
Okay. What if you have to fold them or iron them or wash them?
I don't know.
You don't get to change them out.
You don't get to.
Too bad, so sad.
Yeah, too bad, so sad. You have to make way for horse-drawn carriages.
That seems reasonable.
I agree. I love this one. This one was awesome to me. Because this was, again, another no shit that, like, if you drive through a barricade or drive into a flood zone, if you drive into something that's very obvious you shouldn't have to drive out into and you get busted or you need help or whatever, you have to pay for it. Your insurance is not allowed to step in and help you. The county won't cover it for you. The state's not doing anything to help you. It's your responsibility to pay for the barricade that you just hurt,
right? Or the fact that your car went off a cliff or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Your responsibility to pay for your own dumbassery.
Yep, exactly. Although I think if your car went off a cliff, you probably wouldn't live.
Depends, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Christian and I always joke about that. If our car went off a cliff, we'd be the fucking unlucky people that are just living trapped in our own bodies, that we can't do anything or say anything. We're just alive.
You're just vegetables.
Fucking pull the plug. No, your mind is still fully alert and aware. The rest of you can't do anything. And all you want to do is say, pull the fucking plug.
Pull the plug, motherfucker.
Yep. Me and Christian have had that conversation multiple times. If that tells you anything about our lives.
I like this law a lot. It is illegal to modify a crane game.
What's a crane game?
A claw machine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can't fix it so people can get prizes.
Or fix it so people can't get prizes.
Yes. Both of those things.
Okay.
Which I appreciate. That's like my not so hidden talent anymore. As I flip my hair. 7 women cannot live together in Maricopa County.
Okay.
Kind of odd, but it's like, it's fine. And then
maybe there's too much bitchiness.
Yeah. More than 6 unrelated women cannot live together. It's to try to keep prostitution down.
Okay.
So basically an at-home brothel. No spitting in public. It's prohibited to spit on crosswalks, sidewalks, and highways.
That's good because that grosses me out.
Yeah, me too.
When you see people do it or like you're walking, you are looking down and you could just see that there's spit and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah, it is. It's gross. It's like disgusting. Swallow it. Or spit it into a napkin and throw it in the trash.
Right. Or find a bush.
Yes. All of the above. Okay. This is my favorite no shit law.
Okay.
In Arizona, you can't feed garbage to pigs.
No shit.
Yes. That you would think that. The law applies to facilities that raise pigs. So you can't feed pigs trash without a license. This is to ensure healthy and sanitary pigs when you slaughter them and then eat them.
So, but you can have a license to feed them garbage and still...
Yep.
Okay.
Doesn't that seem like it should be so fucking obvious, but people do it apparently. And apparently if you have like a private farm, you can do it.
Well, and if you have a permit to do it, even if you have a public farm, you can do it.
Yeah.
So you have to look at your pork and be like, where did this come from? Do they have a permit to feed their pigs garbage?
If this came from Arizona, I wouldn't touch it.
Okay. Sounds fair.
Poor Arizona pigs are getting killed for nothing. No.
Aw. Poor Arizona pigs. Poor and they're being fed trash. That's fucking rude.
Right. At that point, I would say cut up the farmer and feed it to them.
Right. Yeah. I feel like humanely raised animals are better.
We won't get into the meter conversation.
No, we are not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I think it's just fucking rude.
Yeah, I do too.
No matter what you're going to do with your animals, treat them with kindness.
No matter what you're going to do with your trash, don't feed it to animals.
And that too.
Yeah. Pick up your fucking cigarette butts. That's how most bunnies die. They smell cigarette butts. They're attracted to the scent in cigarette butts. And they eat them. And then they can't digest them. So they just sit in their stomach and it kills them.
Oh, that's really fucking sad.
You didn't know that?
No, why would I know that?
Oh, I learned about that years ago. That's like one of the leading causes of bunny deaths.
Not cats?
No.
Okay. Or hawks?
They're like super attracted to the scent of it. And so it makes them want it. They think it's food.
Okay. Well, then for that reason alone, I can support vaping.
I can't. Well, how about just like don't smoke cigarettes and don't smoke vapes? How about just keep your body clean and healthy?
Well, there's
all the people do what they're going to do. So I don't know. I just feel like vaping sucks because I did it for a long time and I can't breathe half the time still from it. So
it fucked you up.
Fucked me up good.
Well, again, nobody cares.
Okay, yeah, nobody cares. Tell us about what you're doing today, Mom. It's pretty exciting.
Okay. This is my Michael request, or our Michael request. So Mr. Michael requested that we do...
Mr. Michael.
Well, I... You know what? Respect, man. Respect. You send us an email, ask for a case request. We're super...
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I said R-S. R-S-P. Don't get it and find out what it means to me.
Okay.
Yes, okay, Michael.
Yeah, no, I can have respect because you sent us an email and you seemed excited that we would cover it. And here we are covering it, or me covering it. Here I am. Me, Gail. Woohoo.
Yee.
Go team, Gail.
Go Gail team.
Go team Gail. Okay, ready?
Yep.
All right. So Merlin Santana is what he asked us.
We got a case request to cover the case
of Merlin Santana, who is an actor who...
Might I say, inspired by my can't think of his name case, the celebrity who was totally off the rails.
Lloyd Avery. Lloyd Avery Jr. Lloyd Avery.
Yeah.
Just Lloyd Avery. Okay.
Yeah, that guy was so off the rails. I'm like trying to block him out, actually, because I wanted to do him because I was like, oh my God, he was so cool. And I was like, oh, maybe he wasn't that cool.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do what he did.
This is a PSA.
Maybe don't be inspired by serial killers, Daphne.
Yee. All right, let's do it.
Okay, go.
Merlin Santana was born March 14th, 1976, to parents Leah and Domingo, who had immigrated to the United States from the Dominican Republic in pursuit of the, quote, American dream, we'll say, where they just thought it would be better here than there.
Where did they come from?
The Dominican Republic.
Okay, sorry. I was stuck on Domingo.
That's okay. Merlin was
born. I love that name.
Yeah, it's a great name. Merlin was born prematurely, and he almost died during the birthing process, and he was only given a 50% chance of survival. So his mom and dad named him Merlin after Merlin the Magician, because to them, his existence was a magical thing.
I love that. That's great.
Right?
Actually, that's like fabulously amazing.
Yeah, that's really, because... Yeah, he was there. He was a gift. He was magic that he survived.
I love that.
I love that, too. The family lived...
It's like Amira.
Amira.
Yeah. Her dog, Amira. She got the name because she's a miracle.
Yeah. We'll skip that part.
I'm just saying. It's the same as Amira. A miracle.
Yeah.
Merlin, because he's magic.
He's magic. He survived. The family lived in Washington Heights, a neighborhood in New York City that has a large Dominican population. So it kept them close to their roots because obviously they had left their family.
Yeah.
Merlin always loved to make people laugh, and he was always like a happy and smiley kid. So at 3 years old, he was noticed by a talent scout, and the scout encouraged Leah to take Merlin to an audition for an ad campaign for a fast food chain. And I couldn't find the fast food chain, and I couldn't find the talent scout. I had a really hard time finding stuff, and so pre-apologize for that, because these court documents were not available, which is where a lot of time I get my information.
They were available for money.
Yeah, well.
Which we don't make enough of to justify wanting to spend, what was it, like a lot of money?
$40 to get the court documents. And then they have to come in the mail. I would have had to do a mail request and they would have had to come in the mail. And so anyway, I just did the very best that I could. So I hope, Michael, that you are, that you will enjoy this. But anyways, his mom took him to this audition for fast food chain, and he was so cute and charismatic that he got the job. And his mom and his dad encouraged his acting career, both because they wanted him to do really good things with his life, because that's the whole reason they came to America, was
for the American dream.
Exactly.
So whatever it is.
And also to keep him from the lure of street gangs, because that's
a thing. The Dominican Republic is not always all that safe for young boys.
Well, no, they're in the United States, but they're in New York City. And I mean, gangs are everywhere. Right.
Well, I'm talking about coming to America, though.
Oh, the whole reason. Yeah.
Yes, to avoid those things.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, gangs and violence is everywhere. You can't avoid it no matter where you go.
No, exactly.
Hence why we're here. Not necessarily because of gangs. Actually, yes, that is why we're here. Lloyd Avery is what led us to Merlin Santana.
Merlin was fluent in both Spanish and English, so that made more roles available for him. And he was able to book jobs all through the 1980s. His first screen appearance was a 1985 film called The Purple Rose of Cairo, which was a Woody Allen film, which at that time, Woody Allen was like a big deal. So that's pretty cool.
Before we all thought he was a creep?
Yes, before he married his adopted daughter. Yes. Uh-huh. Anyway, moving on. In 1990, Merlin starred in a play called...
He raised the perfect woman for him.
Oh, shit. In 1990, Merlin starred in a play called Hey, Little Walter. And Bill Cosby saw that play.
Great.
And, well, again, I know. He was... Wow. In 1990, we didn't know how bad Bill Cosby was either. So we'll just skip that part, too.
I think we should have known all of these things. I think you just didn't pay attention. And that was, quote, unquote, the times.
Yeah, exactly. Back in my day, it was fine.
Back in my day, it was cool. You should always marry your daughter.
Yeah, and roofie people.
All the time.
All the time. Anyway, so Bill Cosby saw the play and he was super impressed with Merlin's ability to act and like be like, you know, be a good actor, because it's not always a thing. As we know, I've seen so many fucking TV shows where I'm like, really? This is the best you could fucking do?
Yeah, one of my new favorite shows. That's like a new comfort show to me. The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
The acting's not good.
Well,
but I'm addicted.
So I didn't specifically say anything, but there are a lot of them.
The acting isn't the greatest thing I've ever seen. Isn't
the greatest. Merlin exchanged contact information with Bill Cosby because Cosby said that he wanted him eventually to be on The Cosby Show, which at the time was a big hit.
Yeah.
Huge hit. Yeah, we watched it. Obviously not you because you weren't born, but yeah, still there.
I was born in the 90s.
Yeah, but not in 1990.
No. That was way before my time.
In 1991, he played Marvin on the show Major Dad. He also played Ronald Griggs in an episode of Law and Order called Mushrooms. Also in 1991, he played a newspaper boy in the film The Cabaret of Dr. Ramirez. Then he got a reoccurring role on The Cosby Show, playing a character named Stanley, who was a troubled kid with academic problems, who ended up overcoming those hurdles and becoming Rudy's love interest on the show.
Do you remember this?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I remember Rudy. And I don't think, I mean, we didn't watch like the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like we kind of watched
it. You didn't catch it every week?
Yeah. It was, yeah. We just watched it if we watched it kind of thing. So anyway, he spent all of his time when he wasn't in school going to auditions, rehearsals, and tapings, which was great because acting kept him out of trouble. And a lot of his friends by this time had turned to gang life and were getting in trouble. Some ended up dead or in jail, but because of his parents and his love of acting, he was able to keep on the straight and narrow. And it's great. He also had a passion for music and was well known in his neighborhood as a talented rapper.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Good for him.
That's cool. Merlin was very proud of his heritage because he was dark skinned. People often assumed that he was black, but he was quick to remind them that Latinos come in all different skin tones.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that, too. In 1992, he played Mikey Harris in the film In the Line of Duty Street War. And like In the Line of Duty, there's a bunch of them. So it's kind of cool that you're in a series, you know, of movies. Yeah. Oh, well, it's actually very cool. Any of these things are very cool. Acting, making successful things that people have actually heard of. Really cool.
Yeah, I can dig it.
While working...
Unlike Lloyd Avery.
Yeah. It's like, wait, what?
Right. Except for he was the guy that shot him. He was knucklehead number two.
That shot at Ricky.
Uh-huh. Yes, thank you. I'm like, why am I drawing blanks on
Boys in the Hood
are always hard.
Yes. While working on this movie, he moved to LA to further his acting career. It paid off because he started getting bigger roles. In 1993, he got a starring role on the show Getting By, and he played a character named Marcus Dixon. He also got a role on Sister Sister as a character named Joey.
I need to rewatch that. I loved Sister Sister.
Sister Sister.
With Tia and Tamara.
Uh-huh. So he was on that. In 1995, he got another starring role as Marcus Henry on the show Under One Roof, which had some really big name actors in it, including like James Earl Jones. And that year, he also played Calvin on the TV show Hanging with Mr. Cooper, which I also remember that show. So
okay.
I don't remember Under One Roof. But hey, James Earl Jones, I do know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
He's an actor.
Okay.
He has that voice. I'll show you later.
He has that voice.
He plays, I'm pretty sure he's the voice of Darth Vader.
Luke, I am your father.
I've never seen those movies.
Okay. Well, I've only seen that one. But anyway, as he went from, if I showed you him, or you would know who he is. Okay. Anyway, as he went from child actor to adult actor, he wasn't tempted by the party lifestyle that a lot of the child stars fell victim to, you know, like Drew Barrymore and River Phoenix and
Lindsay Lohan
and on and on and on and on with
bad so things. On and so forth. And who have you not? Because everyone, but a lot of them did it.
Yeah, unfortunately. But anyway, so
Drew Barrymore started young though.
Yeah,
Winona Ryder.
Yeah,
she was real rough for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Transition. Sorry. Man. And especially being in that grown up environment, he didn't fall victim to that kind of party life. He lived in the San Fernando Valley, which was far enough away.
Say Brittany Murphy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just thinking of these people who had really bad.
That's okay. We could go on with that all fucking day.
We could. Yeah. So sorry.
That's okay.
Proceed.
He lived.
He was just good. He didn't fall into the stereotype of.
He had his priorities straight.
Yeah.
He wanted to be an actor. He wanted to be successful. He wanted to be known for being a good actor and showing up on time and fucking doing what you're supposed to be doing instead of showing up on the set all fucked up or not showing up at all or being in the tabloids for being
doing blow in the bathroom.
Yeah. Showing up in the tabloids for bad shit. Like he's like, yeah, no, thank you. I'll pass on that.
That's good.
I came here to act, not to get fucked up. So he lived in the San Fernando Valley, which was far enough away from the Hollywood scene to keep his head on straight, which good choices. So from 1996 to 2002, he played Romeo Santana on the Steve Harvey Show. And he was able to keep up with Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer as far as like his acting ability on the show. Like he didn't like look like a substandard actor compared to them.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, he was like right in there with him, which is very cool because, you know, a lot of shows you like the main characters and you're like, oh, that guy's really good and that guy's really good. But the fuck they get this kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he wasn't that. He was they're like, oh,
he's had to have take a budget cut.
Yeah, exactly. So that was cool. In 1996, he was nominated for an NCLR Bravo Award in the category of Outstanding Individual Performance in a Comedy Series for his role on The Steve Harvey Show. He didn't win, but he got nominated. So that's fucking cool. You know how they always say, it's just an honor to be nominated. Well, no shit.
Yeah, because I was going to say, that's not something everybody will ever experience.
No, and you have been recognized. So the NCLR was a program established in 1995 by the Council of La Raza to promote fair, accurate, and positive portrayals of Latinos in the entertainment industry. So you also have to think, 1 year after they developed this award show, he was nominated. So it wasn't like, you know, took forever for him to be recognized by that group of people. So that's good.
That is good. That's cool. Sorry, I'm just looking at you. She never wears glasses and she's wearing glasses and they're like pushed really far down on her nose. And she's doing like the whole laying at an angle
thing. Well, because they're blue blockers and I'm using them for the computer. But then when I look at Daphne, I don't want a blue blocker. I want her to be clear. So I'm like, okay, yeah, sexy librarian look here or not.
No, you do. You have the sexy librarian look happening.
Okay.
With your purdy done hair.
Okay. So also in 1996, he played Ohaji on the show Moesha. That year, he also played Felix in the film Harambe. In 1997, he played Warren on the show NYPD Blue in an episode called A Draining Experience, which was a season finale, not the series finale, but the season finale. So also feels like that's kind of a big deal if you're going to be on the season finale of a show because people are, it's like maybe close cliffhanger. People can be like, oh my God, did you see the season finale? That was so fucking awesome.
Right. So when a lot of people tune in.
Yeah, it feels like that's a big deal.
We don't really know what it feels like it should be.
Yeah. Well, how the fuck would I know?
I just watched the series finale of Tell Me Lies and I'm scrolling through Instagram going, oh my God, what the fuck? What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Well, I've never been on a series finale of a show.
Oh, we're talking about it on Instagram.
So,
and I joined a Facebook page.
No, I'm just saying, personally, I have never acted on one.
Yeah, me neither.
So I don't know if it's a big deal, but it seems like it would be.
Does seem like it would be.
Okay. So when he went to New York City, which was obviously his home, he sometimes hung out with a group known as the Yellow Top Crew or the YTC. The YTC was a gang. What?
The Yellow Top Crew. The YTC.
The YTC.
What, do they all wear yellow?
I don't know. Probably.
It's like, you're not in the gang unless you wear your yellow shirt today. If you wear red, you're done.
Yeah, you're out.
If you wear the wrong shade of yellow, we didn't tell you to wear pale yellow.
You better be careful. These yellow.
We wore pastel yellow today.
These Yellow Top Crew people are going to come after you, Daphne.
What's a shade that starts with an S? We told you to wear sun-kissed yellow. It's Saturday sun-kissed yellow day.
So he hung out with this, with a group known
as all in good fun and lighthearted.
Okay.
I've never heard of this faction of
me either.
T-shirt gangs.
But I'm getting there. So the Yellow Top Crew or the YTC, was known for selling drugs and they operated in the neighborhood that Merlin had grown up in. A lot of his childhood friends were part of the gang, which was responsible for a majority of the robberies and assaults and murders in their 6-block territory. So that's why you've never fucking heard of them, because they have a 6-block territory.
Right, so why would they be in Colorado?
Well, you never know. They could have expanded. This was 1996.
Okay, so 7. I better get in my yellow shirts.
Yeah, you better fucking get it straight, chick.
Hey, I have a lot of yellow. Sco buffs.
Yeah, Daphne's favorite color kind of is yellow.
My favorite color is yellow, not kind of. Well, it changes. It's like yellow / pink. It just depends on what mood I'm in.
Okay. A guy named Chango, who was the leader of the YTC, was surprised that with all Merlin's success, that when he came home, he still like hung out with his old buddies. So gang or no gang, he was like a loyal friend, which also is cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, could put you in a bad situation. But
he's like, I'm not famous all the time. I can hang out with my buddies.
Yeah, exactly. In one of his freestyle raps, he mentions being involved with the YTC. There's a video online of Merlin that shows him rapping. And he says, quote, cops try to raid me. I close shop and flee. Crooked cop info come in handy. That be my role model as a YTC.
Okay.
Yeah. It actually sounded pretty good. So
just not when you did it.
Well, I wasn't rapping. I was saying, and I'm not even going to attempt it. So there.
Sounds really good. Except for when mom said it.
Some believe that the gang affiliation somewhat rubbed off on Merlin, or at least like might have had some kind of effect on him. William Lee Scott, who played the role of
obviously he's writing music inspired by it. Duh.
William Lee Scott, who played the role of Bullethead on the Steve Harvey Show, which I've never seen the Steve Harvey Show.
I haven't either, but I love Steve Harvey.
Me too.
Well, so I probably should watch it.
Family Feud, man.
Yeah. He's not a creeper, though.
No, not like.
Well, continue.
Okay. Well, let me just say this. I have to.
And like, what was his name? Richard Harris?
Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson.
Yeah,
who's
like
Richard Harris?
I don't fucking know.
I might have just made that up. Anyway.
Probably did. But I was thinking, okay, so this is just a side note that doesn't have anything to do with this fucking story. But I watch The Family Feud a lot at night in bed to like decompress, unwind, because people are so fucking stupid.
Or and it's hilarious.
Or the shit that they just say on there is like, really?
And
it's
we hilarious. Root against them.
But I was noticing because I keep, we do root against them. I'm like, fuck, that family better not make it. Or why did you put that dumb motherfucker up for the fucking 20,000 fast money or whatever?
Right.
It's called?
They miss it. Every single
fucking thing.
And get an X in their how many seconds they get to guess.
Right.
They always
But let's put them
out.
Up for the 20 grand. Okay, that seems like a smart idea.
Right.
Anyway, so I noticed in watching the show that like, I feel like, and this is just an observation, that if people stink or something, he doesn't get close to them when they're doing that $20,000 thing. Because
sometimes he stands there and like puts his arm around
them
and sniffs their hair.
Well, no, he doesn't creeper them.
I'm just
But he'll
teasing.
Like put his arm around them or like stand really close to them, like talk to them and be like, you know, just laugh and joke. But yeah. I've also noticed that there are times when he's like about fucking 12 feet or more away from somebody. And I'm like, I just started thinking about it one night when I was laying
right,
in bed.
They're standing on the stage and he's in the audience.
Right. I just was thinking about it one night and I was like, I wonder if
with
that
the gas mask on.
I was like thinking, I wonder if that guy fucking stinks and that's why he's not near him. Or like wearing too much cologne that you can like taste it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Although I'd rather have that than stink.
It's stink no matter what. That stinks.
No, then,
so
like,
does
yuck
BO.
Stink.
Yeah, yuck stink. But anyway, so that doesn't have any fucking thing to do with this. But
that's better than yuck stink, in my opinion. Too much cologne.
I hate it when you could taste it, though.
I do, too. But it's better than yuck stink.
Better than yuck stink. Okay,
because at least too much cologne, you don't want to puke. I'm so mean.
Yeah, you are. Anyway,
at least I can say my own flaws.
As I said, that doesn't have shit to do with what I'm talking about. It's just a side
note.
We
heard reports that he smelled great.
Well, he stayed on the show for that many years.
Steve Harvey also stood close to him.
Yeah. Well, he was on the show for 6 years. I think if he stunk, it probably would have kicked him off. Just based on my observations on The Family Feud now.
Oh, I forgot that's why we were talking about that.
Yeah, because The Family Feud. Okay. Back to the story. Previously on That's Disturbing.
Previously to 3 minutes ago. Off the Family Feud stink tangent. Stink, stink, stunk.
Stink, stink, stunk.
Stuck.
Okay, so.
We're stuck on the stink, stink, stunk.
The guy who played Bullethead, William Lee Scott, on the Steve Harvey show.
It's like Knucklehead number two.
Bullethead. Would say in an interview about Merlin that he was super talented, but he could also be wild and headstrong and unpredictable. And Steve Harvey described him as respectful, cool, and down to earth. But when you're in different crowds, you act differently. So like when you're with certain people, you don't behave the same way that you act around other people.
Correct.
So, which is smart and also
fair and valid.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. In 1998, Merlin's off and on again girlfriend would give birth to the couple's daughter, Melinda, who Merlin always called the center of his world. Everyone said he was a very loving and dedicated father, which is awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean,
you should be.
It's better than the alternative, yeah.
Yeah, parenting. In 1998 and 1999, Merlin was nominated for an American Latino Media Arts Award for Outstanding Actor in a Comedy Series for his role on The Steve Harvey Show. In 2001 and in 2002, he was nominated for an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor, also for his role on The Steve Harvey Show. So he's being recognized by his
peers, his community.
By his peers, by his community. He's doing very well for himself, let's just say. So Merlin wanted to pursue his rap career too, and he started working on an album, and he had a contact or a friend. I don't know. I read an acquaintance, but I feel like he had to be like more. I feel like he probably was a friend just based on how shit plays out. But anyway, so this guy's name was Jelani Alexander, and he had a home studio, and it was there that Merlin started to like seriously begin laying down tracks and trying to put together an album to release for his aspiring rap career.
Yeah, for his upcoming album.
Yes. Acting was still his primary.
For his debut. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. For his debut
album.
Into the rap career.
Acting was still his primary focus. In 2001, he landed another film role as Jermaine in the movie Flossin'. In 2002, he played a seaman named Aubrey McBride on the show JAG.
A seaman.
A seaman. Not seaman.
I'm like, He played a sperm.
I was going to stop there. But anyway, so he played.
Well, just the way you had it.
Yes.
He played a seaman.
A seaman. He played on the show JAG as a character named Aubrey McBride, who was in the Navy. How about that? Okay.
There you go.
He played Mayhem in a starring role in the film Played a Hip Hop Story. He also played the role of an R&B singer, Dante El Dente, which makes
me
laugh.
Yeah.
On the show Half and Half. Also, have you seen Half and Half?
No.
Oh.
Just the name half and half.
Just the way you, you're like, oh, like I'm familiar
just with half
that.
Just half and half.
Half and half. Also in 2002, he played the role of Goya in the film The Blues, which unfortunately he would never live to see the release of because it was released after his death.
Oh.
So that's a bummer. That well, is. Sorry. Spoiler alert. We're spoiler here because.
Spoiler alert. He's not a killer.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. We're here because he took
himself out. I don't know. He did something and then took himself out. Like,
no. Spoiler alert. He's a good guy and the victim in this story. Wednesday, which is cool. Not that he's the victim, but it's cool that I had a lot of information about him, but only because he's famous, which is also sad because how we always say that, like, we're trying to get the victims their respect or do our due diligence to find as much information. And like, it's hard to most of the time because...
Right.
Because they're not the story. The killer's the story. So in this case,
that's Merlin's, not true, though. They are the story. They're just not always as publicized.
Well,
because people aren't putting out that information, but people are doing studies or whatever, interviews, press about the killers. And so we know more about them typically than we do. But the story is about the victims.
Absolutely. Sorry, I misspoke.
I know you did. That's why I was putting into words what you meant to say.
Thank you. You're so good at that. Words are hard.
I was picking up what you were putting down.
Thank you.
And hopefully what I said made sense because now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I don't even know what I just said.
Okay.
What just came out of my mouth?
I'll find out when I'm editing. Wednesday, November 6th, 2002, Merlin was hanging out with his friend Brandon Adams, who was also an actor. He was in the movie The People Under the Stairs, The Mighty Ducks, The Sandlot, and a bunch of other things too.
I love The Sandlot.
Me too. And The People Under the Stairs is a scary movie.
Oh.
And you all laugh. The People Under the Stairs.
No, you said you listed three of them. Isn't
the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, isn't that Donald Duck and his kids?
No, it's about a,
a hockey team.
Yeah.
That one.
That okay. one.
I know that one.
The Mighty Ducks, Donald Duck and his kids. Nope, that's a different one. I don't know what that one's called, but it's not the Mighty Ducks.
I think it might be Mighty something.
Okay. The pair.
The Mighty Donald Duck and his three kids.
There you go. They're nephews, his nephews.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
He doesn't have kids.
Whatever. It's been so long since I've tuned into the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and those alike.
You're forgiven.
I'm forgiven. Thank you.
Okay, so the pair was out eating at a Chinese restaurant.
Except for, I did have this thought the other day about Chippendale, that it's really creepy. They call them Chippendales. And, you know, Chippendale are Disney characters, and they're like, come see the naked stripper men, the Chippendales.
Right. Yeah. Well, and also Chippendale's like a furniture. I think it's like a period of time, like Renaissance.
Oh.
Like if you say, oh, this armoire, it's a Chippendale.
It's like you Google Chippendale, little kid, and it's like, ah! I was just like, you have Chipmunks.
Right.
Chipmunks. Making up a movie with Chip and Dale at Fort Wilderness.
Yes. Oh, that was so great.
Okay. Yes, it was.
Back to the...
Sorry.
That's okay.
Daphne's random thoughts she has to spit out of her mouth.
Word vomit by Daphne.
Not spit, though.
No.
That's illegal.
In only Arizona. In Arizona.
It might be illegal in more states. We don't know.
No, that's
keep
true.
Keep a tally.
The pair were out eating at a Chinese restaurant. I'll never remember to do that. The pair were out eating at a Chinese restaurant in a strip mall. While they were eating, a young woman came up to them. She recognized both of them from their work.
You need to work on your timing. While they were eating, a young woman. While they were eating, a young woman came up to them.
Okay,
hear it now?
Let's be clear. They weren't being cannibalistic. They were eating Chinese food. And this chick came up to them while they were eating because she recognized both of them from their work.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, totally fair. Do you see the difference in the inflection?
They were eating a young woman.
Versus they were eating. A young woman came up to them. Okay. They were eating Chinese food and this chick came over. And she's like, hey, dudes, I know you guys. And I don't know if that's how it went, but she recognized them from their work. And she sat down with them at their table. So she just obviously like sidled up and pushed her way in. Her name was Monique King, and she went by Mercedes, which,
hey.
Okay. Merlin and Monique exchanged numbers.
Ooh.
Monique was
saucy.
Only 15 years old.
Ooh.
And she was a runaway.
Ah.
And a pair, ooh, ah, ee,
ugh. I didn't go, ah, I went, ah.
And apparently she lied about her age. Otherwise, it was said that
shocker.
There's no way that Merlin would have ever exchanged numbers with her because he was 26. So.
He seems like a pretty upstanding
good guy.
Human,
yeah.
That he probably isn't into statutory rape.
in this next little
just
part.
Just because he's in Hollywood doesn't mean he's into statutory rape.
Right. Well, he's the good guy in Hollywood.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Just because he's in Hollywood.
Exactly. So this is hearsay, quote unquote, and it's denied by some people. But I also saw that it was in court transcripts. But as I said, I couldn't fucking find the transcripts, so I can't tell you if it's true or not. But anyway, so this is...
I know. That's so stupid. This is the first time we've ever run into something that it's
ever.
Like... hey, pay a high dollar for.
Right? Yeah, the first time ever.
I mean, normally, you know, like we have subscriptions to different services so we can use them multiple times over again. Mm-hmm. But this is not that.
No, it's not. Later that night, so the night that they met, at about 7 o'clock, Monique called Merlin and asked if he wanted to hang
out. Mercedes.
Well.
Said she went by Mercedes.
Yeah, Mercedes, Monique. I'm going to go back and forth.
Okay, cool.
It won't be confusing.
At all.
She's the same person. And she asked if he wanted to hang out. And Merlin and Brandon were like, okay, cool. And so they went to the Jack in the Box and they picked up Monique. Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
They went to the Jack in the Box.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. I guess we'll hang out with you. Merlin, so nonchalantly.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I don't know exactly how it went. Plus, it's hearsay, so maybe not.
I'm just teasing you. I just like the way you did it. Okay, cool.
Okay, cool. We'll be there in a minute. So Merlin and Brandon went to the Jack in the Box and picked up Monique and her friend Shaquita Harris. And the four of them went back to Merlin's apartment in Studio City and spent the night partying and having sex and all of those things.
Nice.
And then around 1 a.m., they dropped the girls off in the Wilshire district. But like I said, it's hearsay. And so I don't know. But it was said that it was in court documents. So I don't fucking know.
Nice. Good
stuff. It could have been in court documents as hearsay because there's that too.
Yeah.
So that is the 6th and 7th of November because we're going into the next overnight, you know, because it's 1 a.m.
Okay.
So on Friday, November 8th, 2002, at about 10 p.m., Brandon went to Jelani's house and found Merlin and Jelani playing video games and smoking and hanging out. Merlin had plans to go back to New York City, but he decided to stay in L.A. for an audition.
Okay.
So that's why they were there hanging out. A while later, and that's the guy that had the studio in his house, which is why I feel like they're more than acquaintances if he's there hanging out playing video games and smoking and like his other friend Brandon just like shows up over there to hang out.
Yeah.
So that seems more than acquaintance. Like.
Right. It seems more friendly.
Exactly. A while after Brandon got there, Monique called Merlin and asked if he wanted to hang out again. And so Merlin gave her directions to Jelani's house and she showed up at like 10 or 11:30 or so. And she came in through the back entrance of the house and she immediately went into the restroom. And according to Jelani, she sat down on the couch and she kept putting her head in her hands and she was acting all nervous. And Jelani said that she was trying to act like she was...
Is that her last name?
What? Her last name is King.
Which one's Jelani?
His friend, the music studio guy.
Oh, okay. Yes. Then their friend Brandon came over.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she was trying to act like she was fucked up, but Jelani said that she was pretending to be wasted, but she wasn't staggering or stumbling, and she was like responsive to questions and could hold a conversation, but at the same time, she was trying to act like she was fucked up. So he said it was just really fucking weird.
Okay.
About
she's
20...
on some weirdo shit.
Yeah. So about 20 minutes after getting there, she got a phone call and she said that she had to go outside and meet someone who was dropping something off to her, which I'm like thinking, what the fuck? Why are you giving random people the address to this house that like you've never been to before? And so like, why would you just be like, oh, hey, I'm here. Here's this address. Come and bring me something. Like that just in and of itself seems like a fucked up thing to do.
Right. This isn't your house. Why are you inviting random people to it?
Exactly.
So not like these are people we know. These are people we're friends with. But it's like, yeah, sure. More merrier.
Right. Like you've known Merlin and Brandon for 48 hours.
Right. For 3 minutes.
You've known Jelani for 20 minutes.
Yeah. And you but fucking, let's just invite people over.
Yeah. It's cool. It's fine. It's whatever.
Ooh. She invite over the YTC?
No. They're in California. Out of their 6-block radius.
I thought you said the YTC was in New York.
It is, and they're in California.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was confused.
Like, you literally just, you said they were in New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is what I said.
Well, he said he was going to go to New York, and then he said he didn't. Yeah. So he's still
in California.
Home.
Yes. So when they showed up to drop whatever it was off, Monique asked to be let out the front door of the house, but Jelani said no, and he told her to use the back door, which I don't get the significance of that, but because it doesn't seem to come up anywhere else other than the fact that she came in through the back door. He was like, go out through the back door. Apparently, we don't use the front door in our house, but...
Came the way you go.
Right.
What? Came the way you go.
No. Come in the way... Go out the way you came in.
Yes, there you go.
There
come
you go.
The way you go.
So
came the way you went. What? Again, my brain doing things. Okay, proceed.
Back door. Brandon and Jelani thought that she was acting suspicious, which, yeah, sounds like it. So Brandon followed her outside and he saw her get into a champagne colored SUV and then it drove off. They went about like two blocks down and they stopped. And Brandon watched until the lights on the vehicle went out, and then he went back in the house and he was like, something shady's going on. And so then Merlin tried calling Monique's phone, but he didn't get an answer. And then Merlin and Brandon got into the Kia that Brandon had borrowed from his mom because he was having car trouble. So he borrowed this car from his mom.
So you're just going to leave Jelani at her house by herself?
His house. Jelani's his a guy. House.
Okay.
So Jelani, yes, they left Jelani. House. They went to go find this car.
Sorry, why in my brain is Jelani a girl now? I don't know.
I don't know. But they drove to where the SUV had been parked, but it was gone now. So they made a U-turn and they headed back to Jelani's. And as they drove, they saw what they thought might be the SUV, but they weren't sure. When Brandon and Merlin were leaving Jelani's for the night at like 2 a.m., they walked across the driveway and saw two men standing across the street talking to someone sitting inside of a vehicle, and that's the SUV. And so they're like, oh, this is weird. They got
shady as fuck.
They got into the Kia. Brandon was driving and Merlin was in the passenger seat. As they were getting ready to pull away from the house, Brandon saw a red beam of light flashing through the car. And then Brandon said that he heard like six or seven gunshots and like rapid fire. And they were like being fired into the car. So Brandon ducked down and he looked in the rearview mirror and he saw two men running towards the car. And he could see that they were wearing hats and holding guns. But like that was about it because it's 2 o'clock poor in the morning. Jelani. It's dark.
This is happening outside of his house. Mm-hmm. He's like, what the fuck, guys?
Poor everyone in this situation. Except for the bad people.
Yeah.
Brandon threw the car and drive.
Sounds like Monique's got something to do with it.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Bitch.
Pretty much.
Sorry, I'm like, I guess I don't know, so I shouldn't go there yet, but sounds like it's her fault.
Sounds like she's a bitch. Correct. Okay, so Brandon threw the car and drive. He could tell that the tires were flat, but he was still able to drive away. And he saw in the rear view mirror that the men were getting into the SUV and then they started chasing them down. Brandon looked over at Merlin and he could see that he was bleeding, and he drove to a major intersection and was able to flag down a police officer. And the police officer could see that the car was like full of bullet holes and, you know, that there was that it had flat tires. And then he saw Merlin was slumped over in the passenger seat.
The cops saw that they were in distress.
Well, I mean, he flagged him down, but they was like, oh shit, this is the scene here. And then the cop could see that Merlin had been shot and that he was dead.
And the cop wasn't behind, or the guys chasing them weren't behind them at this point?
No, because he drove to them. Well, they drove to a cop, so they maybe turned around or they were like, oh, fuck, I don't know.
I hope Merlin got the license, or not Merlin, that Brandon got the license plate.
So detectives showed up on the scene and could see that one bullet had gone through the trunk into the passenger seat headrest and it had hit Merlin in the back of the head, and he would have been killed instantly.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just slumped, he was dead.
Mm-hmm. Detectives found nine bullet casings in the area where the shooting had occurred, so in front of Jelani's house, and they were all from the same gun. It was believed to be an M1 30 caliber carbon rifle. Brandon told detectives about the way the night had gone and Monique's strange behavior and about the SUV. So police wanted to speak with Monique. Weird.
Duh.
Yeah. So the next morning, investigators had Brandon call Monique and see if they could meet up. She agreed and they chose the Jack in the Box to meet. No, right. I'm like, well, I want Jack in the Box. When she got there, I like breakfast. I don't think I've ever had anything else. But anyway. When
I just remember the story of you told me that they used to serve horse meat.
That is a rumor of that.
And so I'm like, I can't
go
there, but I've never even had it.
When she got there, Brandon pointed her out to investigators. Police took Monique in for questioning and she lied about her name and her age and where she lived. And when they asked her about the events from the night before, she kept changing her story. So they were like, basically, you can take the hit for the murder. Or you can give up the murderer because we know you're fucking involved and you're being a shady ass bitch, and you can either give
it. And you're lying left, right and center. So either we're going to charge you with it or we're going to charge you as an accessory to it.
Right. So you can
we're either going to cut you a deal or you're going down.
Right. You're going to take the heat for all of it. Or you're going to spread it out, spread the love. So she finally agreed to cooperate and they took what?
Spread the love.
Spread the love.
They spread the love of the charges.
Yeah. Well, they took her cell phone and they saw that they saw the calls that she had made to Merlin on the night of November 8th. They also found another number that she had called four times the night of the shooting on November 9th at 158, 159, 202, and 203 a.m. The contact for that number was Kid in her phone, which led investigators to Damian Andre Gates, who was a 19-year-old man.
So not a kid.
No, but yeah.
It's like Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
Like a 50, 60, 70-year-old human. It's like
going by kid. So police were able to get a search warrant.
What up, juvenile? Sorry.
That's okay. Police
kids are.
Yes, kids are juveniles. Juveniles.
Juveniles, too.
Juveniles. Police were able to get a search warrant, and his home was searched on November 21st of 2002. They found the cell phone that Monique had called that night. They also found a black New York Yankees hat and a 30 caliber bullet cartridge under his bed. So I don't know if they mean like the
thing you shove up the gun with the bullets in it.
Yeah, that. Or the thing you shove up. Or if it was like a casing. I don't know. They called it a cartridge. And
well, then I'm assuming it's not the casing.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. So, but I don't know if that thing's called a cartridge. Oh, that thing is called a clip. So now that I think about it, yeah. Anyway, so I don't know. They found something that was related to the bullets that they had found at the scene. Damien's aunt had rented a Dodge Durango SUV, which was returned to the rental place just a few hours after the shooting.
Oh.
Police arrested Damien and another man named Brandon Douglas Bynes.
Oh, when you said Brandon, my heart just stopped a little bit.
Yeah. A 23-year-old man who went by the nickname Busy. And I'm probably mostly going to call him Busy because you go Brandon, it's kind of confusing and there's a good Brandon.
Yeah, so how about you just call him Busy or you say good and bad Brandon.
Okay. Either way.
Good Brandon, bad Brandon.
Damien denied knowing Monique or Shaquita before the night of the shooting. He did admit to driving the Durango, though, that night. And at first, Damien said he wasn't involved in the shooting. But then later, he admitted that he was involved in the shooting and that he had used the rifle.
So these people are just playing fuck with the police.
Yeah, they just...
Even though the police are like, we know it's you.
Right.
We literally know.
Right. And they're like, no. Okay, just kidding. It was me.
Wait, no, it wasn't.
No.
Yeah, it was. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was.
So during Bad Brandon's interview, he also denied being involved. Then he later admitted that he was involved and that he had used the rifle.
See, fuck.
By this time, it had definitely been established that the murder weapon was that rifle, but neither man would admit to being the one that fired the fatal shot. But Monique told investigators that Damien had the rifle and that Busy Bad Brandon had a pistol. So according to Shaquita, both she and Monique were both runaways and they had met just a couple of weeks before the shooting. Shaquita said on the night of the murder, she met up with Busy and Damien. And this was the first time that she had ever met Damien. And they got some booze and some pills and they found a secluded place to park and they hung out and drank and took pills. And later that night, Monique called Damien to say that someone was trying to take advantage of her.
Bitch.
She told Damien.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a piece.
I'm like, really? She's the one saying that she was being taken advantage of? Not that she's calling up this guy, lying about her age, all this shit. Yeah. That she's like, hey, let's hang out. And he's a dude and he doesn't know that she's lying. So he's like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Let's do it. So she told Damien that when she got to Jelani's house, the men told her to sit on the floor and take her clothes off and that they had a video camera set up to film her. And at first, Damien didn't believe her, which was a really good intuition on his part because he should have leaned into that.
Now he's going to have life in prison, but whatever.
Yeah.
Either use your intuition or commit murder.
It's either way. I mean, I feel like the former is probably the better choice. But
well, yeah, I prefer the not taking life option, but we wouldn't be here otherwise.
Especially an innocent person who's a good person.
Yeah.
But I guess after a private discussion between Busy and Damien, they decided that they were going to handle it. So they drove to Damien's house, Busy, Bad Brandon. And Damien went inside and came out with a duffel bag that contained a rifle and the pistol. And then they took the about like 15-minute drive back to Jelani's house. And once at the house, Damien loaded up the rifle and Busy got the pistol. And they initially had planned to shoot up the house. But shortly after they pulled up, Monique came out of the house and she got in the SUV. And then Brandon and Merlin came out of the house and got in the car. And then that's when the shooting started. So all three of them were charged with the murder of Merlin Santana and the attempted murder of Brandon Adams. Busy pled guilty without going to trial. And He pled guilty to voluntary manslaughter and assault with a deadly weapon, and he was sentenced to 23 years. Damien and Monique both thought it would be cool to take a crapshoot, and they both pled not guilty and took their cases to trial. So okay. During his trial, Damien testified, I'm assuming against his attorney's advice, I would think.
He took the stand on his own behalf?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that's never a good idea.
No, not for the defendant.
Did they not learn anything from Ted Bundy?
Clearly not. So he said that he met Mercedes and Mika, which I'm assuming obviously is Shaquita, but she goes by Mika.
Okay.
But this
is too confusing.
This is from his testimony.
There's so many names.
There are.
That are the same people.
Right. Exactly. There's so many names, but only four people.
Right.
So he said that he met Mercedes and Mika the night of the shooting. And that was like the first time that he met them.
Well,
right?
I guess he didn't say Monique and Shaquita. So.
No. Because they were like, hey, we're Mercedes. We're Mercedes and Mika. That's how they introduced themselves. And he said that he and Busy were driving around and then they saw the girls and they pulled over and started talking to them.
These some low quality pieces of shit women.
Yeah. The girls asked for a ride to the store and then they got in the car and they went to the liquor store. And this is from Damien's testimony. So Mercedes told them that she had a date, but she was waiting for a phone call. They had some drinks and they took two tabs of X. So this is the we got booze and pills. Damien said that he didn't consider Mercedes to be his date and they were not together. They were just hanging out because they just fucking met, which wouldn't necessarily mean that you weren't his date. But he said no. He's like, we're just hanging out.
He is like, yeah, I don't claim that.
Yeah. So they dropped Mercedes off at Jelani's house and then they were going to Del Taco, but he got dizzy.
I know, Del Taco.
But he got dizzy and he had to stop before they could get to the Del Taco.
Not busy.
Yes.
He didn't pick up busy. He got dizzy.
Right. I'm assuming from the alcohol and the X.
Yeah.
That would be my guess, but I don't
know.
It's
a great idea to keep driving all those things.
Yeah.
When I get to California, the laws are going to be crazy.
We're almost there. It's the C's.
We are. We're not far.
Nope. So before they could get to Del Taco.
Are there even any B state names?
Not that I can think of. And there's probably like seven of them. People are going to be like, oh my God, you guys are so fucking stupid.
I don't think so. I can't think of any.
Me either.
New Hampshire. Although that's still an N.
Did you say New Hampshire? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Is that a New Hampshire?
Yes, I got it. But it would be Boo Hampshire.
That's what I'm saying. I guess it's still an N.
Yeah. So before they could get to the Del Taco, Monique called Damien.
Idaho.
Huh?
Idaho.
Back to her.
Yes. Sorry.
This is the serious part.
Okay.
Yes. No making cracking jokes.
Except for at Damien and Monique. Busy.
So before they got to Del Taco, Monique called Damien and asked her to come back and pick her up. And then she called him again before he got there and she was crying and freaking out. And when she got there, she came out and her clothes were all disheveled. And he told them that she had been abused. Sorry. I'm like, wait.
She's like, I was assaulted in there.
Yeah. She said that she had been assaulted. Exactly. That's the word I have for here is assaulted. Damien became enraged because he didn't take abuse lightly and he drove off.
But that's probably fair as he should get mad.
Yeah.
Not mad enough to commit murder for no fucking reason, but mad. Yeah. I would get mad too, but right. Maybe like go confront a guy, not with a gun.
Yeah, the way he reacted wouldn't be the way I would react.
Yeah, but it sounds like he was also maybe egged on a little bit, we're getting to.
And he's on alcohol and drugs and has the means because he's like, oh, I'm going to go get a gun. So he didn't take abuse lightly. He drove off, but he stopped a couple of blocks away, which is when Brandon saw the SUV stopped. And then
the lights turn off and all that.
And so then he drove to his house and he got the duffel bag with the rifle inside. And then they drove to Jelani's house. Damien got out of the SUV and then he heard someone in the car say, there they go. And I think the car, they mean like the SUV, like somebody, not Brandon and Merlin saying, there they go, but
yes, it was
Monique
the SUV
or whatever
saying, there they go.
Yeah. So then he started running and shooting, and the rifle was old and beat up, and it's stuck in the automatic mode. It also had a laser sight on the top of it. He said he didn't remember anything else about the shooting. He wasn't thinking. He was in a rage. He just started shooting. Then he said,
being drunk is the excuse.
Yeah. Then he said that he sold the guns a few days later. So as I'm reading this, I'm like thinking, what kind of a fucking defense is that? Like, you're going to take the stand in your own defense, but you're going to say, I fucking shot running without any fucking aim, without any fucking rhyme or reason, because I was pissed. Like, I've been pissed so many fucking times in my life.
I've never even held a gun before in my life.
So many times in my life I've been pissed, and you've never seen me fucking grab a semi-automatic rifle and just go running and shooting.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a fucking normal.
I've never seen that happen.
No, that's not a normal fucking reaction, I don't think.
No, it isn't. No. Murder is not a normal reaction.
Also, what kind of a defense is that? Hey, let me defend myself by saying I was super fucking pissed. I went home and got a gun.
Well, that's the defense that dad is using in Texas right now, that's not being charged for the argument over Trump with his daughter that he was drunk and killed her because she doesn't like Trump.
Yeah, I know.
So he got off with it.
No.
They dropped the charges.
Well, that's Texas. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, hopefully somebody civilly charges him, though, like OJ.
Hopefully. Yeah, it's just like, wait, at what point is that a defense? Although you're pointing out, but this is California, not Texas. And that's not a fucking normal reaction.
Yeah.
So super weird that the jury found him guilty of murder. So
he's like, wait, I thought my defense was being drunk.
Right. I thought it was great that I was pissed and started shooting blindly into the dark and running.
Right. I thought you guys wanted us to remove the murders and the rapists off the streets.
So
you're the murderer. There was no rapist.
Yeah. So he was sentenced. Or he was found guilty of the murder of Merlin Santana and the attempted murder of Brandon Adams, as well as some like miscellaneous gun charges. But he had sold the guns, so they didn't have the guns. But they're just like, dude,
was good
obviously.
Brandon okay?
Yeah, good Brandon was fine. So he was sentenced to 70 years.
Mental scars.
Yeah, no
kidding. Don't forget
that. Yeah, physically he was okay. He was sentenced to 70 years to life. Monique King was tried as an adult, even though she was only 15 years old at the time of the shooting. She would admit that she was never assaulted, that she was never forced to take off her clothes and sit on the floor, nor was there a camera set up. And she never gave a reason for why she did it. And she never showed any remorse about what happened.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she's a bitch.
Piece of work.
So she was found guilty of second degree murder for Merlin's murder.
Good.
And also found guilty of the attempted murder of Brandon Adams and was remanded to the California Youth Authority until the age of 25, which means she only served 8 fucking years for this, because at the time of the trial, she was already 17 years old. And that's nothing. And it's straight up fucking bullshit, if you ask me, because none of this would have fucking happened if it wasn't for that stupid fucking bitch.
Yeah, well, she didn't pull the trigger. That's why.
Yeah, but she made it happen. She was the catalyst.
She's the fucking asshole that made it happen. That's the reason why Merlin's no longer with us today.
Exactly.
Acting. He probably would have been huge.
He would have been huge by now. So yeah, he'd still be alive if she hadn't fucking lied. And for what? Because she's fucking stupid.
Because she's a stupid bitch. Yeah,
because she's a stupid bitch. That's the answer. So after her release, she was arrested for sex work as well as some other probation violations. And nobody really knows where she's at today. Nor could I find like much about her, like no more like shit. But also I didn't super look.
Well, there probably isn't much anyway, because she's a liar.
Yeah. And a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, super sad. Merlin's brother, Ish, has a YouTube channel with his girlfriend, Annie, where he shares memories about Merlin. And he also named his son, Merlin, after his brother.
Aww.
In 2018, Merlin's daughter, Melinda, graduated from NYU with a degree in nursing. And on her cap, she had a message to her dad that said, quote, "Dad, no worries. I know you're proud of me in heaven."
Aww.
Yeah, that's all I have. But I do have a side note.
Okay.
So I got super excited because I was looking for information about this case, right? And I couldn't fucking find much. And then I came across this.
I don't know. That's pretty packed.
Well, no, I kept going. I kept finding. But like in the beginning, you're like, it's 45, 50, 1 hour and 35 minutes long.
Basically, yeah.
So anyway, yes, I ended up making it fatter than I thought. It was going to be super skinny. But anyway, so I couldn't find a ton in the beginning. And then I came across this thing on Google that led me to a Facebook page about how Monique King was killed in a drive-by shooting after being released from prison. And I was like, yes, fucking karma.
Same,
yeah,
Monique,
yeah,
King.
Yeah. Yeah. So all the comments were like, karma's a bitch. Karma's real. Bitch got what she had coming.
Yeah. And a drive-by shooting. Yeah.
And all the things basically were how a bad person got what was coming to them. But unfortunately, after a lot of research, because fact check and fact check and fact check, because you don't want to.
She didn't get killed.
Repeat bullshit. I found it was something that went viral on social media, but it was actually a 58-year-old grandmother, mother, sister, who was gunned down in a parking lot in Chicago on August 31st, 2024. She had the name of Monique King. So somebody.
It's probably not the most uncommon name in the world.
So somebody grabbed that and then took it. That, you know what I mean? Like it just got, it was one of those things like how we talk about how somebody says it and then somebody else says it and then it becomes fact. And so you have to figure out if it is fact or not.
Right. Someone named Monique King did get murdered, but not the Monique King that we wish would have gotten her just desserts.
Right. Exactly.
And not like, that we wish she would have gotten her just desserts, but like.
She would have deserved it.
You get what you give.
Yeah.
And she gave out death. So she should receive death, perhaps.
Yeah. What goes around comes around. So it was just a bummer because.
Although I hope she lives a long, bad life, actually.
Who knows? Who knows where she's
like
at?
Like a really horribly awful life.
So, yeah, this woman's name also was Monique King. So super sad that this woman's story gets lost in the shuffle of this bitch's story. But she was, you know, she was a good person. Everybody said she was a good person. She was gunned down on August 31st.
Good Monique.
Good Monique. 2024, she was a victim of gun violence. She was in her truck in this parking lot where a bunch of people just like gather and they've been doing it for like decades. Like all these people in this neighborhood were like, we're just going to meet in this parking lot. And so, and even when people moved out of the neighborhood, they like would come back to this parking lot and like hang out. Exactly.
Communing spot.
So she was in her truck and talking to her brother and he was in his truck. And she was just shot. Her brother thought it was fireworks at first, but unfortunately it wasn't. And his sister died in his arms. Police found 29 shell casings in the parking lot. And Monique was hit in the neck and died at the scene. And there's a $5,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction. Happened in a parking lot at Cermak and Pulaski on August 31st, 2024. So if you have any information about this, contact the Chicago Police Department. So that's my sad note. Sad note.
That's really sad.
Really sad. Yeah. So.
And it's sad that, yes, this... The bitch Monique's fuckery
overshadows
this Monique who didn't do anything.
Who deserves justice.
Yeah, who did not do what bad Monique did.
Well, and that's why I felt like it deserved a full mention instead of me just saying, yeah, it was somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, because
right,
like I said.
It's an unsolved murder, so
yeah, I looked to see if there was any movement on the case and I couldn't find anything. It just, like I said, when I came across it, I was like, yes. But then you have to fucking look and look and look and look. And it's like, there's nothing about it. And then it literally says somewhere that I was looking that it was this other woman and it just went viral that it was that stupid bitch. So, which sucks. It sucks for the family that is not getting justice for the person who didn't deserve to die. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got. I hope. Michael, I hope you like it. I hope I did it justice. I hope it was what you were expecting and more. And
I could
that
definitely
I didn't disappoint.
Sorry, I was just saying, I could definitely see the listening to Lloyd Avery and thinking about this case.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, definitely, yes.
I could see parallel elements that there was drive-by shootings in the Lloyd Avery case. And, I mean, Lloyd Avery was the thug murderer, though, and Merlin
was the drive-by shooter.
Right, Merlin was not. Correct. Merlin was the upstanding human being that was a good person that took good care of his daughter and XYZ and all of the good things that he did and, you know, and was unfortunately his life was cut short by a piece of shit little girl who'd made up a lie and got two gangsters involved.
Yeah, and didn't even fucking give a shit or act remorseful or anything.
But yeah, that's why I said a piece of shit little girl.
Yeah, it's super heavy.
Yeah.
I think it was super heavy.
It was really heavy. In don't the beginning, love it.
No, of course not. And in the beginning, I was like, oh, this is going to be so skinny. I can't find anything, blah, blah. And then I just keep digging and digging and digging. And then I find more and more and more. And I have to give a full on shout out to a YouTube channel called, which I don't usually watch YouTube videos and stuff. Anyway, it's called Hood Politics.
Hood Politics.
Hood Politics. It's a YouTube channel.
Because sometimes we need sources for cases that don't have a lot of information like this. Like, I bet they probably have stuff on Lloyd Avery.
Probably.
But I think a lot of Lloyd Avery stuff was more publicized because it was like, whoa, this real life gangster.
Right. Well, and because it was crazy shit. So
very out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus you found court documents and stuff.
I did find court
which
documents.
I couldn't access. But anyway, so I want to give a shout out to that podcast because or not podcast, but YouTube channel. I don't usually ever watch documentaries or listen to YouTube videos or other podcasts. Actually, never, because I don't want their opinion to become my opinion. But since I couldn't find anything about it, I watched that video. And then it led me in the direction of being able to come up with more information than I was finding on Google. Because then I could
sources.
Yeah, I could specifically search out things. Because even the Wikipedia page was like 5 paragraphs.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it was like, fuck, man, this sucks. And then I found the Hood Politics and I was like, thank you, Hood Politics. Much appreciated. So shout out to you guys.
No, I understand that. That's like, you know, that Lisa Volante, was that her last name, mm-hmm. that I did that case about her and the crazy ex-wife that killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there wasn't a lot of information about her. So I watched the Deadly Women episode because that had a lot of information about who she was as a person,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, I mean, yes, it was obviously the spotlight was on. I think her name was Chelsea, the murderer. I don't even care. I just remember Lisa's name.
Mm-hmm.
The piece of shit that killed her. There was equally the spotlight on the victim in that episode. So, like, I watched that episode because I needed more information about Lisa.
Right.
I mean, her mom was pretty good about putting information out there as well, but...
Well, and I could find a ton of information about Merlin because he was an actor. And so I could find, like, what he did and what he starred in and who he played and all of that kind of stuff was really easy to find.
Yeah, you just look at his IMDb.
Mm-hmm. Which also wasn't always, fucking correct either.
Well, it's not always a hundo, but
no,
I was like, than nothing.
Yeah, so then I had to cross-reference that too. But anyway, that's, yeah.
Yeah, no, my point is, though, that sometimes watching things are necessary. Like the one I'm, the Casey request, I have been watching this documentary for the Casey request because I need some opinions outside of my own to help me.
Mm-hmm. So you need like people who knew her and things that people are saying that are legitimate that you can verify. Yeah, because the reason I don't like to is because I don't want someone's opinion that they've formed to then become my opinion. I want my opinion to be my opinion.
Well,
I don't really have an opinion about this except for that stupid fucking bitch is a stupid fucking bitch and those two guys were fucking ridiculous for falling into her bullshit. So that's my opinion on that. But being able to find information, it's tricky.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't like to gain other people's opinions either. Just sometimes you need to watch the sources.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You need to watch it come out of the horse's mouth, not just see someone writing about it, you know.
Yeah.
You need to watch someone say those words. Yes, Merlin was a good person.
Yeah. This is what his daughter said about him. This is what his brother said about him. This is what his parents said about him.
Exactly.
So,
well, thank you for doing all that research.
Sure.
Coming back with a good story.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed it as best as you could.
I did. What do you mean as best as I could?
Well,
I
really enjoyed it.
No,
suck.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
No, I enjoyed the story. It just sucks that it's real life.
Yeah. No shit.
If it was a movie, awesome. Guess what? Greatest, probably not the greatest movie ever. But if it was a movie, you know what? Kudos to them. Great story.
Right.
But it's not. This is real life. Merlin's life was taken and that fucking sucks.
Yep.
By some little girl liar.
Yep, exactly. Fucking bitch. Anyway.
That's why I was watching a show the other day and it was like, that's the one thing you don't lie about. And I wholeheartedly agree. You do not lie about sexual assault.
No.
Like sexual assault is something that you don't fucking lie about it. Like if you're honest, cool. Be honest. Be about it. Be real. Stick to your story. But don't lie about it. Because that's when people's reputations get dragged and people get fucking killed over bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like these other two guys are saying literally nothing happened like that.
Yeah.
And then she's going on and she's like, it wasn't true, actually. I lied.
Right.
And it's like, what? So somebody's life ended because you're a liar? That's bullshit.
Yep.
That's like the smear campaign against Justin Baldoni. I know you don't really care and follow the Blake Lively stuff, but, you know, like, she is going to go down hard because she's lying.
Yeah.
And it's just not fair.
It's not fair.
You know, just because she was butthurt that she didn't get the director role over it.
Right.
And the text messages that are coming out are that she was planning to be a piece of shit before she even met him in person.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I've heard some things about it and that she's thrown a bunch of people under the bus and stuff.
No,
so
I mean,
she's not very popular right now.
Right. It's like the Amber Heard stuff. It's like she smeared Johnny. I mean, is Johnny Depp the most upstanding human being we've ever heard of?
Probably not.
Right. But is he
the worst person on the planet?
No.
Probably not.
Did he hurt his ex-wife physically and assault her?
Probably
no. No, it was proven that he didn't.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't follow that either. Yeah. All right.
She came out that she's a big fat fucking liar.
Well, that I knew.
And that's the one thing you just don't lie about.
Yep. Well, there are lots of things, but that's a huge fucking one.
That's the one. That is the one that you don't lie about, in my opinion.
No, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a fucking huge one. It'd definitely be on the top of my list of things you don't lie about.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's it.
Yeah. That's all we got. All right. Well, you can follow us on Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. We also now have a Facebook page. It's called That's Disturbing. But I also recommend you type in podcast after, because we're listed as like the business type as a podcast. But I just called us That's Disturbing since that's the name of our podcast. Mm-hmm. So we're just That's Disturbing on Facebook. Or you can send us a Gmail, thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com. We are also working on setting up a Substack so we can write a little bit about what we're doing and publish there. We have threads. We're working on doing it
all. We have blue sky.
Yep, we're working on doing it all.
Yep.
All right.
Bye-bye.